I'll speak briefly. Okay, so we were in the second bracha of Shmoneh Esrei, and we were up to the word Rofei Cholim. We spoke about Mechalkel Chaim B'Chesed, Mechaim Mesim B'Racham, and Rabin, Somech Noflim, then we're up to Rofei Cholim. And when we come to Rofei Cholim here, so this isn't a Bakasha, we said this isn't a request for a Fuah, but we did point out that Bnei Yisachar and many other tzaddikim say that when you're giving a Shevach, when you're giving a praise, that is in fact the most auspicious time also to request. So when you're saying Rofei Cholim here, the Yesod B'Shor Shavoda points out that you should dafka be mechavin to times when you experienced refuos, when people you loved experienced refuos, because you're giving shevach for it, you're giving praise for Hashem as the you don't have to eat it. Yeah, give it to me. No, she didn't give me anything. But Rofei Cholim here, the Yisod B'Shor says you have to give Shevach. This is Shevach to Hashem, praise to Hashem for being the Rofei Cholim, the one who heals. Those that are sick, and you should think of people who, Rachman Olzan were sick, but who Baruch Hashem experienced refuos. You should take time to think here. This isn't just, right? But the Yisod B'Shor said to make it meaningful, really, each Shmoneh Esrei, to think of someone that experienced the refuah. But the Bnei Yisrael are saying at the same time, that's when you should also think, not say, but think people that need refuos as well. So that's one level of Rofei Cholim, that it means literally praise for people who were sick. And as we said, we ended last time saying that you can also be mispal for them at that point. Yeah? So that's the first Rofei Cholim. The second Rofei Cholim is a different type of chola, is a different type of illness. The Rambam in Hilchos Deis Perek Sheni, he discusses people that don't have cholas, not physical ailments, but emotional ailments, spiritual ailments, right? People, he discusses people that have spiritual maladies and that they'd be considered sick. People who can't motivate themselves, who Rambam writes, they're misatzlim, they're lazy about doing what's right. So those people also need a refuah. Those people also need Rofei Cholim. So when we say Rofei Cholim, we have to understand that although the bracha, Rifa'enu, we'll get to later on, really seems to be focused on the physical, when we're giving Shevach now, we're giving praise to God as a Rofei Cholim, it's Rofei of all Cholim. It's Rofei of all Cholim. And again, the Klal of Bnei Yisachar stays as well here, that when we're saying the Shevach, when we're giving the praise for Hashem, that you're Rofei Cholim, you physically heal, but you also emotionally heal, you also spiritually heal, to think of experiences when that happened, and at the same time, to think also of individuals that you want to have such a refuah. At the same time. So we see there are two types of refuahs. Two types. Physical first, then talking emotional / spiritual. And then the third, coming from the Balatanya, the Siddur of the Balatanya, is really a fascinating one. He says that you know what type of illness, you know what type of sickness we're asking Hashem to heal us from? Love sickness for Hashem. This is the most Hasidish, of course, so you'll appreciate this also, Howie, right? Love sickness for Hashem, because he says a person who's cholas ava, because of the tzimtzum and the hester of God in this world, that God is pulled back and God is hidden, so there's a great yearning, there's a cholas ava ani, as Shlomo HaMelech writes in Shir HaShirim, that we're sick with love for the Ribono Shel Olam. So the Balatanya and the Siddur says that this is another thing we're saying Rofei Cholim for. This is something. What?
Why would you want to be cured?
Because how do you be cured? When you can experience Hashem in full. That you don't have to be pining away, that you get to experience Hashem fully. That's the idea. That's what it means. You know, for some people, you know, I was talking to a guy who was single not too long ago, and he was explaining to me that he, you know, he's in a real relationship, and it's very hard for him because so much of it for him is really the thrill of the chase. Now he's in a real relationship, you know. You know, chase is done. You know, like, you know, what's going on with me now? You know, like, you know, I want another chase. So it's not like that with the Balatanya. He's saying there's the thrill of the chase, but even a greater thrill is not having to chase. An even greater thrill is actually consummating the relationship. Haviyachol with the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's what the Balat Tanya talks about. So that's a good question.
Is that the reality of this world?
No, that's probably Mashiach Zeit. And even perhaps beyond that. Well, that's a question. It's a question, what is Yemos of Mashiach? We're not going to get into that.
I think to really be clear, that is all mammoths.
God's tzimtzum, that God's heder, the concealment of God is right. Not so great. In Yemos HaMashiach, the concealment of God will not be as great. There won't be Yetzer Hara. God will be much more obvious. That's clear from Mamari Chazal. Right? Meaning the rendezvous with the... But I don't know what will be pining, but not Cholas Ava, because when Cholas Ava in Shir Hashirim, what's Cholas Ava? I'm love sick. What does it mean you're sick with love? It means you're ill and I can't have it. So what we're saying is that there are times when a person experiences that less because you have God. Meaning you're sick because you're separated.
Right,
when you're not separated anymore.
But at some point that becomes the new normal. And then you'll be pining for Olam Haba.
So now we're getting to questions that I'd rather not talk about because they can literally make you crazy. Mm-hmm. Right? Like infinity. Don't go there. We're not going to discuss that right now. But those are things that are way beyond this world. Just remember, when things get tough here, better they be tough here for a short time than you're messed over forever. Okay? That's the only thing to remember about. And that's pretty intense.
Is that your yearbook quote?
No. I don't even remember what my yearbook quote. I did not really.
Death once a week. That's
a
yearbook.
No. I wish. At that time, I was only thinking about death once a week. but that's three pshatim in Rofei Cholim, either literally physical illness, or Rofei Cholim, it's, as the Rambam Hilchos Deis Perek Sheni, Perek Beis, talking about an illness of emotions, perhaps spiritual, taking it in a very mystical sense, Cholos Ava, that Hashem is the Rofei Cholim, that Hashem should allow us to experience Him. That's what it means. Again, as Ben is asking, on what level? But it means that we should be allowed to experience God and not be sick because of the inability to connect with God. That's the third level. And then after the word Rofei Cholim, we come to Matir Asurim, right? So he has a fundamental definition, Habir Aklali, the general explanation of Matir Asurim. What does it literally mean? To release those that are bound up. That's what Matir Asurim. And he says that any limitations that causes a pain, that causes a person difficulty, is considered ma'aser, is considered like this type of jail, matir asurim, that you want to be let out of. And he said the first thing that you should think of here, he quotes, well, not actually the first thing he quotes, actually the first thing he quotes from the Prisha and the parish of the son of the Gaon happens to do with childbirth. That matir asura means that there should be a healthy childbirth. If a person knows of a pregnant woman, you're having in mind that matir asurim, that should be healthy. Why? Because the baby is considered usur. The baby is considered constricted, bound in the mother. And matir asurim means that should be healthy. Second kavani has from the pre-tzadik, or tzadik ha-kohen, that matir asurim, hainu sheyetzer hara, oser osam, b'maser shaliyuch lazus. Very often, what are we caught by? What are we bound by? We're trapped by a Yetzer Hara. So when a person says, Matir Asurim, again, this is all in the context of Shevach, all in the context of praising Hashem. You're praising Hashem for being the one who helps us, that we're not locked up by our Yetzer Hara. We're not locked up by Taifa. We're not locked up by physicality, that we have the ability to go beyond there. And the Sfasema says, similarly, Matir Asurim is that Klal Yisrael has Chayrus. We say it in Marav every night, right? What do we say every night? That he gave to his children, what do we say? Chayrus Olam. In Emunah Kol Zos, we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out to Chayrus Olam. Everyone's saying, wait, where do we say that? You'll check the next time you get into the Emunah Kol Zos. It's a beautiful line, Chayrus Olam. When Hashem redeemed us at Yamsuf, we were given eternal freedom at that time. What does that mean, we were given eternal freedom? We know that, Rahman al-Atzlan, not too long ago, the Jews were not free. The Jews were under the worst type of imprisonment and shibud. But the idea is that a Jew is never, the Tzfas Emes writes, that a Korach HaChayrus is that we are never caught by Gashmius, that a Jew has the ability to rise above the physical. Right? No.
No, I'm just saying, faith in
age. Well, this is the Messiah. I mean, Rav Shimshon Pinkus, Rav Ari, my brother, once gave me a tape to listen to Rav Shimshon Pinkus, where he goes off about Jewish eating habits, Bizman Hazeh. Goes off about it. And he goes off about Rechov Rav Yakiva and Bnei Brak. When you have a pizza store and a Chinese store and a bakery and a shawarma place and another pizza store and another bakery and another shawarma place, and he really goes off. He goes off. Mm-hmm. He was a very holy person.
You were saying that because of this concept of Clarus Ola, and the question is brought, what about the time of the Holocaust? Right, seems to say it can't be Clarus Ola, we were subjugated again. We said, oh no, we're not really talking about physical, we're talking about this.
Meaning of the spirit.
The spirit, right. But we see that that's also, just like there have been times when our physical bodies were not our own, so our spirit have also been.
No, but the Jew could always break free from it, meaning in Egypt there was a unique challenge, that if we would have stayed there even a little bit longer, right, the soul of the Jew would never have been able to break free. Right?
Even if we go where it's us at.
No matter where you go. I mean, there are unbelievable stories. Sai mitzad Gashmius, Sai mitzad Ruchnius, both in Gashmius and in Ruchnius, of people who are in incredibly difficult situations who were able to rise above it. Able to rise above it. I mean, there's a story I read just recently that a person's memoirs in the concentration camp, he remembers from Jews in the concentration camps with him, and the guy would always smile. The guy would always be smiling, and there were times he would just like be laughing out of nowhere. And they would say, what are you smiling about? What are you laughing about? And he said, look where we are. We have two choices. We either look around and we get so depressed and we cry and we give up, or we smile, we force ourselves to smile, and we remember good memories, remember good times. We're here either way. That's what he said to him. From Jew says, we're here either way. We have to choose what's in here, what's going on in here. And that's a little bit of what the Sfasemis is referring to. That seems to be what the Sfasemis is referring to. Pre-Tzadik is referring really to typhus, the physical typhus, that a Jew isn't locked up by that. The Balatanya has another pshat, our fourth pshat, what Matir Asurim is. Again, first we said was a fetus in the mother. Second we said, second and third are really similar, of the Pritzadik and the Sfasemes, that it means Matir Asurim, that the praise we're giving to Hashem is that none of us are prisoners of physical, of anything physical, whether physical desires or physical circumstances. The neshama of a Jew has the ability to rise above all of these things. Right? The Balatanya has another thing. He has another pshat, and he says that what happens, and this is Al-Pi Kabbalah, Moshe Cordovero talks about this in the Tomer Devorah, and many talk about this. We know when you do an Avera, what do you create? You create the negative spiritual force. And the more and more Averas you do, what happens? More and more negative spiritual forces that weigh you down, that hold you back. The Balatanya says, Matir Asura means... And again, you could relate it, of course, to what the Sfasemis was saying, probably easier than what the Pritzadik was saying, what the Ritzadik was saying, but Matir Asurim, according to the Balatanya, is that no matter what sins you've done, Hashem is ready, your neshama is being set free, not only from the taivus you have, or physicality, but let's say you actually fell. Let's say a person actually sinned, right? Matir Asurim means that you can rise above it. Matir Asura means that even when you've stained your soul, even when you've committed the Averos, it doesn't lock you up. You can break out of it. It doesn't prevent your neshama from soaring. Right? And that's like the old Chassidus Shavart, that, how do you tell who a real Chassid is, who's a real Chassid? Someone who could do the worst Avera at night and wake up in the morning and daven with the Slavas. Right? What does that mean? Meaning that you understand Matir Asura. That Hashem sets me free. I'm not stuck. I'm not bound, even by the averus that I've done in the past. Obviously, certain averus, we know a person has to be an adam l'chaveiro, there's a certain type of tshuva that you have to do, but certainly the mitzvahs of ben adam, the averus of ben adam l'makom, Ben Adam La'atzmo to a degree. A person certainly has the ability to rise above and set oneself free. So that's a third interpretation of Ma'atir Asurim. The Baal HaTani continues. He discusses that very often what happens is, after a person sins, what does it do? It doesn't only create negative spiritual forces, but what does it do to you? It stops you up spiritually, right? Like we know, the famous example is a person who eats non-kosher. A person we mentioned from Atzil Salman who looks at inappropriate things. That dulls your spiritual sensitivity, right? It makes it harder for you to connect to spirituality. So the Baal HaTani, Likutei Torah, and Shir HaShirim, he says that Matir Asurim also means what? That heart that is Otum Ke'evan, that heart that's stopped up like stone, that the kochos Ava are able to break free. The kochos of Ava and Shuka for Hashem Yisbarach are able to break free. Right? That even the spiritual after effects of sin doesn't hold a person back, doesn't lock a person down. And the last thing of Matir Asurim, now this is a little bit of a different take on it from the Sfas Emes, he tries to explain how Matir Asurim works. How does Matir, and well, I guess we'll start with Lishenei Afar next time, I thought we were going to start here. Okay, I realize we're starting late. But what's the last pshat in Matir Asurim from the Sfas Emes? That when a person recognizes in this bracha of Gevuras Hashem, that mamash everything is Hashem, that Hashem is the Kol Yachal, everything is Hashem's power, then Matir Asurim, then nothing can contain you, nothing can lock you up. When you understand the true Koach, that Hashem is the Kol Yachal, Hashem is Bori Manig L'chol Abruim, when you have that Hakara, when you live with that understanding, then nothing can lock you up. You're free from everything. Right? It's like Lahavdil, you know, the Shawshank Redemption. Almost all, the most Torah of any movie, I think, is in Shawshank Redemption. I think it wins. In the movie, you know, the fact, anyone going to see it that didn't see it yet?
Spoiler.
Yeah, a little spoiler. Bit of a spoiler.
Yeah, it's easier to watch it again and again. 10,
12, 15 years ago.
I was in college.
Well,
20.
Before that.
It's like 20 years ago.
Over 20 years ago.
It's over 20 years
ago.
Okay, we're good. We're good here. Okay, fine.
Okay.
So,
I only 6 months ago.
Really?
Because you said so. So I went on. Pulled it up on the movie.
Really? Yeah. So it's really good. No. So in that movie, the fact that Andy Dufresne knows that he really didn't kill his wife, he knows he's not a prisoner. He knows be'etzim he's not a prisoner. Whatever they're going to do to him, he's not a prisoner. The Sfas Emes Lahavdil says, a person that knows Hashem's in control of everything, nothing else can make you a prisoner. Nothing else. Not people's opinions of you, not a boss, not even a gulag in Siberia. Nothing can lock you in. Nothing can imprison you when you know that Hashem's in control of everything. Because ultimately everything is coming from Hashem. So who are you? Are you your spirit or your body? Trust me, you don't want to be too connected to your body. No one wants to be too connected to their body. You don't want to be too connected to your body. You want to identify with something much deeper, much real, more real about that. And so Bez Hashem will have the opportunity to continue next time. Shkoyach.